What's wrong with the church? Maybe the church is, it's boring and irrelevant, or perhaps it's out of touch and old-fashioned and smells a bit of mould and dust and so on. Perhaps it's bigoted and homophobic and needs to catch up with the rest of society or something. Perhaps even it's full of paedophiles and hypocrites and sinners and so on. My own view, actually, is that if there is anything wrong with the church, it lacks power, the power of the Holy Spirit. And that's our subject for today. Imagine when you look a person in the eye and tell them their innermost secrets by the word of God. Imagine when you heal sickness and injury in people, as we've heard described already. Imagine when you change the world by God's power. Then the critics will have something to talk about. That second reading that Teta read on the day of Pentecost, amazing things. People from all nations and languages were able to understand the message. And they said, hang on, these people are Galileans. They're from the backwoods. They're thickos. How can they do this? It was a miracle. And they wanted to know how and why. When signs and wonders happen, when the power of God is manifest, then the critics will have something to talk about, won't they? They'll want to know, how did this happen? What the critics did in the New Testament, when they picked themselves up off the floor, was to ask questions. How did you do that? Jesus? Who is this Jesus? And then, of course, we can tell them, and the church begins to grow. Here's another thing about the picture. When the wheel turns and when it spins, all that you see is the hub in the centre. That's the one still point, if you like, that is clear, Jesus. And there's a message in that, because that's how the Holy Spirit works as well. He's self-effacing. We don't know much about the character of the Holy Spirit himself. All we know is he's the Spirit of Jesus. As the reading that Helen read says it, Jesus said, I promise I will send you another counselor, another one like me, another similar counselor to be with you forever. I will not leave you. I will come to you. He's the Spirit of Jesus. And he points to Jesus. So wherever you, maybe some of you have read the book The Shack. And in The Shack, he describes how he could never get a clear view of the Spirit. It's always sort of slightly fuzzy. Jesus, he could see very, very clearly. But the Spirit was always, if you like, ducking out the way and pointing to Jesus. When Christians are filled with the Spirit, when Christians receive the gift of the Spirit, when the power comes upon them, how do you know it's genuine and not some weird cult or sect or something? Here's how you know it's genuine. They talk more about Jesus. They become more like Jesus. Because the Spirit of Jesus makes the character of Jesus clearer and more evident. One of the speakers at New Wine said this week, it's not what happens when someone falls on the floor in the Spirit that matters. It's what happens when they get up off the floor again. Has their life changed? Is God truly at work to change them and make them more like Jesus? If someone gets proud and starts talking about themselves and what a wonderful experience they've had and, wow, gosh, God has blessed them and how wonderful they are and so on, be wary. But if someone talks more about Jesus, then that's the Spirit of God. We want to be passionate about Jesus. We are Christians, after all. John Stott, some of you will have heard of him or read his books or whatever. He died recently, age 90. But for as long as I can remember, John Stott was one of the clearest Bible teachers not only in Britain, but in the world. He said this: it's not just that we should strive to live like Jesus, but that Jesus should come and live in us. To have him as our example is not enough. We need him as our saviour. It's through his atoning death that the penalty of our sins may be forgiven, whereas it's through his indwelling spirit that the power of our sins may be broken. It's the spirit in us who gives us the power. You may have heard people talk about the fruits of the spirit and the gifts of the spirit. Paul's first letter to the Corinthians, 1 Corinthians 12, verse 8, he talks about the gifts. He makes a little list there: gifts of wisdom, words of knowledge, gifts of faith, healing, miracles, prophecy, discernment, speaking in tongues, and interpretation of tongues. Some of the gifts of the Spirit, I don't think it's an exhaustive list, actually. I think there are more gifts that the Spirit gives. And he gives them to Christians, to the church, in order to show Jesus and to point people to God. And then also there's the fruits of the Spirit, which we find in the letter to the Galatians, chapter 5, verse 22. The fruits of love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. If you like, the personality of Jesus, the character of Jesus. When you look at that list, that was what Jesus was like. And that is, if you like, the fruit of knowing Jesus and his spirit working within us, is that we develop love, joy, peace, and so on. We become like that, like Jesus himself. Down at New Wine, Simon Ponsonby was giving the morning Bible readings, and he spoke on Romans chapter 12, verse 11 at one point, a little verse that says, "Be ablaze with the Spirit, serving the Lord." And he talked about that verse because the Holy Spirit throughout Scripture is pictured as fire, likened to fire. God appears, for instance, as a burning bush to Moses. You remember Moses was in the wilderness, in the desert, and he saw this bush burning, but not consumed by the fire. And he thought, that's funny, that's weird, let's go and have a look. And not only does the bush burn, but it spoke to him as well. "I'm the Lord your God. Take off your sandals, the place where you're standing is holy ground." God appeared in flame and fire. As he led the people through the wilderness, God was there as a pillar, a column of fire in the wilderness. The judgment on Sodom and Gomorrah, God's judgment fell as fire on Sodom and Gomorrah. Elijah and the prophets of Baal, you remember that great contest where the prophets of Baal tried to call down fire on the sacrifice, asking their god Baal to send fire. Nothing happened, nothing at all. And then Elijah said, "Come on, draw near, pour water over it, make it difficult." And then he prayed, and the fire of God came and consumed the offering and licked up all the water in the trench around about. God fell as fire, and he does so on the day of Pentecost, tongues of fire and flame on the apostles. Simon had a little story about a young recruit in the 19th century being interviewed by the Methodist preacher W.E. Sangster. And the young man was a bit modest. He said, I'm not the sort of person who'd set the Thames on fire or anything like that. And W.E. Sangster looked him up and down and said, "My brother, I'm not interested in whether you'd set the Thames on fire. I want to know, if I picked you up by the scruff of the neck and dropped you in it, would you sizzle?" Lovely phrase. Would you sizzle? In other words, have you got the Holy Spirit in you? Are you ablaze with the Spirit of God? And he talked about his fireplace in his home that he's rebuilt and everything. It's beautiful. It's got lovely tiles there. But he said sometimes the church is a bit like an empty fireplace, you know, with logs there ready and everything. People come and admire it and say, wow, what lovely tiles. But the whole point of a fireplace is when you light the fire, isn't it? That's when it really comes alive. That's when it makes sense. That's when it fulfills its purpose. And the church shouldn't be like a maybe pretty but empty fireplace just to look at and admire. We need to light the fire, let the Holy Spirit come, and then the church will find its true calling. So how do we receive the Holy Spirit? Well, simply ask God. That's all we need to do. Maybe hold your arms out, maybe open your hands to receive and ask. Jesus said to his followers, he said, if you know how to give good gifts to your children, how much more will your Father in heaven give the Holy Spirit to those who ask him? And all down the centuries, Christians have been doing that. One of the oldest prayers that we find in monuments and on writings and so on is, come, Holy Spirit. We find it in Latin, Veni Spiritus Sanctus. It's one of the oldest prayers of all the churches, all the denominations. Everyone agrees. Christians need God's Spirit. That's why we pray for people. That's why we lay hands on them, is for the Spirit to come. So can I encourage you, at the end of our service, if you'd like particular prayer for something, or indeed if you just want to be filled with the Spirit, this week, any week, come to the front for prayer. What we'd like to do actually this week, just to bring back some of the blessing from New Wine, is four of us who were down at New Wine, I think we'll probably make a little arch at the sort of at the back as you head for coffee, so that we can just pray God's blessing on you as you go through for coffee. Maybe those who are behind the crossing, you might like to come forward so to speak, go through the arch, because we all want God's blessing, don't we? His Holy Spirit. So this is the last in our little series about the wheel. Jesus at the hub, the centre. Walking with Christ, our behaviour and lifestyle is the rim of the wheel. It's our contact with the world around about us. The word of the God, Bible, and prayer connecting us vertically with God. Fellowship with Christians and witnessing, connecting us horizontally with other people around us. And of course, the Holy Spirit being the driving force, the power behind the wheel. Let's just take a moment now to reflect before God. Maybe one of those aspects is missing or needs developing and growing. One of those spokes needs strengthening. Or maybe perhaps we need to very consciously put Jesus back at the centre. Put Christ back at the hub of your life. Down at New Wine, one of the churches next door to us, the church itself was called God First. I thought, that's a funny name for a church, but the more I thought about it, the more I thought, that's a good name for a church. Putting Christ at the centre of all that we do. Or maybe, as we've been saying, you'd like to receive God's Holy Spirit, to have more of God's power in your life. Let's have a moment of quiet and pray, come Holy Spirit, and then we'll sing very gently a song, Spirit of the Living God. Let's be quiet now.